right, we're back. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're excited to be here on this Tuesday afternoon here in Youngstown. You have the opportunity to call in during our show. This nice red safe right here has $700 and AirPod Pros. You can call in at 330-595-1600 and give us a three-code guess. And what are the hints, Joe?
There's only three of them still. The first one is that the number appeared on a clock. The second one is partners. And the third one is one even, two odd.
One even, two odd. And we discussed that zero is an even number.
And yet I didn't know that for a little while.
So maybe that's a fourth clue.
Maybe it is. Maybe I just like throwing a red herring out there, watch you guys spin a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, it's good. Well, your week's been going good so far.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you said you're kicking tail, which is awesome. I saw a really cool TikTok video. There's a guy, Jesse, I'm going to mess up his last name. But he speaks and, it's an entrepreneur and that sort
Elder?
Of deal.
Jesse Elder?
No. It's something ethnic last name that I'll butcher here in a minute. But he did a 100-mile race, 100-miler.
In a car, right?
No, on his feet.
Oh.
And he said around like mile 74 or something like that. He hit a wall. He had hypothermia. He was like just shot. And the guy he was running with looked at him and said, you know, something along the lines of like, you know, this is you're a walking miracle. And I don't know if you know this, but I don't get tired. And they had this exchange and he's like, I need you to say that to me. You don't get tired. And he was like, I don't get tired. And he's like, no, I need you to say it like you mean it. And I said, I don't get tired. And they stopped this rest spot and they're eating some food. And he quips to the aid worker who's helping him before they go on to the next leg of the race. And he says, I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't get tired. And he said that his partner, as soon as he said that, grabbed his shirt and drug him out and said, let's go. And he goes, you know, we hit mile 77. And I said, oh, this is the best day of my life. You know what? I don't get tired. And he continued that mantra until he finished mile 100 with hypothermia and all sorts of stuff setting in. And he was talking about the power of the words that we speak, that most people would be like, well, you know, you gave it a good shot. You did 74 miles.
Right.
Hypothermia set in. You have all the excuses to tell your family and friends.
And the people around you will be like, aren't you tired yet?
Right, exactly. And he just, he was like, literally, we got through the last marathon.
That's crazy.
On
the downhill was a full marathon.
Yeah, wild. But it was one of those. I love those little inspiring videos and those nuggets. But it was one of those things. Man, that's really, really good.
Yeah.
Because you know, you hit those spots in life where you just got to look at it and go, you know what? I don't give up. I don't get tired. Like we're pressing on through this. So it's good stuff. So you're picking the topic today.
Yes.
And normally I come in and have a topic, but Joe has a topic that we're going to go into that I don't even know the definitions of some of these words. So this
well,
is
here's
awesome.
The thing. Like we're put on the spot. The producer needs a topic when we come in, and typically we don't even really know what the topic's going to be. So we're put on the spot to make something up. Now, Doug here at least is organized enough, has some bullet points that he could draw a topic out of it and take a good guess, like a probably 40% chance that's going to be the topic.
I mean, Joe does his best to derail me every time.
But if it doesn't happen fast enough, I could see Mario kind of like starting to get angry, and I don't want him to
is
tear his
Mario
shirt and turn green.
Mario?
It's Mario.
You should comment. We should ask our listeners. So my wife
you're
has
gonna be wrong. I wouldn't do this.
And I'm okay with that, but our listeners should comment. Is it Mario or Mario?
And if you played Nintendo, it's a me, a Mario.
That's Mario.
It's Mario. It's got to be Mario. So anyway,
comment and let us know.
So they weren't doing it fast enough, and I could see that Mario was about to rip off his shirt and turn green. And so I had to come up with something. Last week, I did WeAreAwesome.com. No. So if you saw the title of it, that was me getting impatient.
And did you buy the domain name?
That's No. That's probably
someone
dumb on me.
Someone's going to open a WeAreAwesome.com.
Yes. And so like first thing that popped in my mind is dirigibles can fly. And a dirigible is sort of like when, you know, like a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
This was like the first version. The Hindenburg was a dirigible. It's an inflatable flying machine that uses lighter than air, either a nitrogen or a helium or a hot air to fly around. That's a dirigible.
I'm a dirigible. I use a lot of hot air to get from place to place.
And we got a call. I mean, if you want to take it real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Might as well try to give some money away. All right, caller, are you there?
I am.
All right. You got a guest for us?
I do. I've been listening and thinking about these clues. And I think the partner is the one that's going to get me. I'm going to guess 509.
Are you onto something? Are you following some kind of trail? I want to know the backstory.
Well, I've been thinking the partner is the weirdest one to try and get, and I'm looking up all these partner things, and I thought, all right, maybe it's well, first I went with Youngstown Computer, the other address.
Okay.
The first.
Oh, that's smart. Smart.
Last week, partner company. Okay. Know? And I was like, let me think, partner. And over on Steele Street, there's a Partners, a business named Partners.
Interesting.
Their first three numbers are 509.
Okay.
Two odds and an even. I'm on it.
All right.
Hey.
I got a spreadsheet going.
He's got a spreadsheet. That's what I'm talking about.
I like the trail, though. You're doing well.
That's dedication.
We'll get there eventually. Talk to you on next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Cool. I like it that it's a little bit of a challenge. I like the mystery and the
spreadsheet
riddle.
Job. If he doesn't win,
I want him to win. I know. For him. Anybody who pushed in the effort, yeah. I want to see get paid off.
Yeah, no, that's so good. So dirigibles can fly.
It's a flying machine.
It's a flying machine. And are you making one in your backyard?
No, I'm not making a dirigible now.
maybe
in the future, dirigible.
Yeah, I saw a video of a guy. I'm guessing in the military, he was in fatigues of some sort, and he had this. Craft is the best way to describe it. There were these things on his arms, and then he had things on his feet and this pack on his back, and he was able to jump off of his ship and fly essentially to another ship while they were going like full speed together. It was wild. I was like Iron Man just called and wants his suit. It was sweet.
Well, Ryan and I are going to do that paragliding where you strap an engine to your back and put a parachute, jump off things, and then use the jet to kind of, you know, the pack to get you around. That seems amazing. So Ryan and I are going to, you know, be flying around the islands or something.
I don't like heights.
Is that a no thank you?
It's the falling and dying part that I'm just like, no thanks. I'll watch you do it. I'll take video for my TikTok from the ground.
Yeah. Cool video.
But that leads us to a thought. Watch how I'm going to blend these.
All right, watch the segue. Here we go.
So a lot of times, whether a dirigible, which is a word I just learned, but in the creation of, you know, a flying pack like that, or a hot air balloon, or the airplane, or any of those major innovations/inventions, a lot of times folks end up sabotaging themselves. They self-sabotage. They get so close to the answer, but then once they get there, they don't know what to do with it. And so they either don't want to get there because then the chase is over. I've arrived at an answer. Right. And so they will sabotage themselves so they can keep working on the project because they're really in it for the joy of the journey, not necessarily the solution at the end. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And most often, like you take the Thomas Edison story, like when they fired up the first light bulb, it lasted for all of 3 seconds, right? If we would have had that experiment, we're like, there's no use in a light bulb that takes that much effort to make for 3 seconds worth of sparkler, you know? So expectations are a lot of that too.
Yeah. Well, and I think any of those inventors, and I know you're a fan of a bunch of them, that come into that, you know, they have a goal, but really most of them just enjoy the creative process.
It is.
And that's the tension. Like they almost are like, yeah, we built that, but let's go on to the next project. And they're never satisfied with that. And I feel like anybody who's satisfied by the end tends to never get there.
Right.
The people that could care less if they get to the end but love the process usually end up arriving but don't care about the end and move on to the next thing.
Exactly, right.
It's very interesting to watch those dynamics at work because you have some people that push their whole life for one goal and one end and never get there. And then you have other people that are just like, man, I just love what I do, and then I produce this and produce that and produce that, and then everybody's like, well, tell us your secret. And like, my secret is I wake up every day and do the thing that I love, and I happen to produce this and this.
Yeah. And my wife lets me set up machinery in every room of my house so that when I'm, instead of sitting on the couch watching Netflix, right, I'm wrenching on a machine that if it has output, cool. If it doesn't, that's cool too.
Yeah. Well, we were over Sunday and you were like, you guys want t-shirts? And then all of a sudden here we got a printer and we got this other thing, and you know, we were printing. My wife is ecstatic about her t-shirt, the Joe created t-shirt. So we're from South Jersey, which is maybe why we say Mario instead of Mario.
Yeah.
But also we say water instead of water, water ice, water bottle, etc. And Joe was like, my wife couldn't decide what she wanted on a shirt, and he was like, I got it, water, noun, and then he put the pronunciation as water.
Yes.
W-O-O-D-E-R.
And I had to dig for that because, like, the real way to pronounce it in the dictionary was way different than wooder. I was like, wooder's not a word. So I had to figure out what that think. Little hyphen thing was. And yeah. I had to figure that out again. It hasn't been since sixth grade.
Yeah. So have there ever been, you know, obviously you like to play and experiment and you like to do that. Have there been moments where Joe has self-sabotaged?
Not purposely. I mean, there's been some times where, you know, like anger got the best of me or impatience got the best of me and I started getting pissed. But those were pressures that I put on myself and they weren't even real. Like when you look back at them now, you're like, what the heck was I thinking? Like I didn't have to like explode and declare failure when I wasn't done yet. Now I give myself tons of grace to like mess things up and take too long and cost too much.
Yeah. Failure is part of the creative process though. And if you love the creative process, you love failing just as much as succeeding, because when I fail, I get to go back and figure it out. When I was in, I think it was eighth grade, we did a science project and everyone was given the same exposure to materials and you had to build a bridge out of toothpicks. And whoever's bridge held the most weight won. And so you had this competition in your class and I don't know how they split us by groups. And, you know, you had some that were like, we're just going to put as much glue and sticks together. But the process of prototyping, testing things, coming up, you know, you had a certain window of time to do it and you had so many, you know, toothpicks to figure it out. And some people, you know, focused on their end structures and other people focused on, and it was neat. They were all very different. And the one that you thought would hold the most weight didn't. And the one that, and that process though, it was one of those things I look back, I couldn't tell you anything else about eighth grade science, but I remember that project and how much fun it was. You know, I don't even remember what our bridge necessarily looked like, but it was just a fun, experiment. I've done, two or three of these, you see them a lot of times in like corporate team building. I don't know if you've ever done the marshmallow spaghetti challenge.
Yeah, we did that,
which is just a ton of fun. You have 18 minutes to get like a string, some tape, and everybody gets the same amount of materials, and you have to whoever can get the marshmallow the highest up on the structure, and it's a ton of fun to get folks you know, engaged around a creative process where you might win, you might lose, and the video is very fun that goes along with that. That challenge as well. We did that at my wife's, she worked for a PR company in New Jersey. We did it for her, Christmas party one year and they had all the teams do it. And it was awesome because one of the young ladies that my wife worked with, her fiance was an engineer major from somewhere and,
Ringer.
It was awesome. We were literally like, just tell us what to do.
Get his protractor out. Yeah.
And we won. So yeah, it was good. So let's talk a little bit creative process, with that, because, you know, whether we're talking hot air balloons or we're talking airplanes or we're talking companies or we're talking, social stuff, family structure, et cetera. You know, experimenting and figuring out what works best. And, you know, there, some people want to sit down, have it all on paper first and then go execute. But oftentimes it's really not the way that it works. The best, the gold comes out of the moments where you had all the stuff on paper and then you're like, you know what, we're gonna try it one more time. We're gonna try it this way. And then it works or it works way better than you anticipated. And those are the moments where like, boom.
The best moment. Yeah. And I'm honestly, I mean, if you listen to this show, you sort of hear Doug and I after having done this after 20 plus years. And when we talk about these stories, I remember the earlier version of myself when I was putting this stuff together and I sucked at it. Like there was, and I don't even know what it was. I don't know if it was, you know, that I'm just competitive with myself or my environments were so toxic that people were just gunning at me. And I just like, I need to win. I need to see this come through. Or somebody's gonna say, see, I told you so. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause I don't think I was afraid of money. I made so many financial mistakes. I mean, that wasn't the big chip there at that point.
Yeah.
But you know, coming down to here, it's easy to say that, you know, the creative process, give yourself some grace, fail a lot, but then fails now aren't as stingy as they were, you know, at one time.
Well, because you realize, hey, I'm in the boat, I'm rowing in that direction. I just happened to hit the bank over here and we just got to adjust.
And you don't have many people saying it's going to be all right. Keep failing. You have people saying you're wasting your time. You're a dreamer. Go get a job.
We got a comment or two on our Facebook stream.
Yeah.
David Kelso from Trenton, a fellow New Jerseyan, chiming in saying hello. And he says, you never fail. You either win or succeed or you learn. You never fail. I love that. It's good.
Amen to that.
I know for with what I do in the church side of things, the nonprofit side of things, it's very challenging because people are they expect when I say, hey, we're going to do X, that that's going to succeed. And I've tried to create a culture where we can experiment and where everything's a tool, where so for instance, when I first started, we changed our Wednesday night times, I think 3 or 4 times, because we had this midweek thing and 6:30 was early, 7 o'clock. We had people complaining that it was too late. And there's, I said, well, we're gonna try for 6 months and see how it works and see, you know, maybe that's the right time. But even doing that experiment, you got pushback from everybody. And we ended up going back to the original 6:30 time slot when we had Wednesdays. But just getting people to experiment with that. And even, you know, Saturday nights, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we just wrapped up almost 3 years of Saturday night services. It was for a season. I knew that. I said that out loud going in, but I know even for myself, I had to convince myself, like, all right, it was for a season. This isn't sacred. It wasn't sacred when we started it.
You might do it again in the future if you want.
Exactly. And as long as we can view things through that lens, it gives us the freedom to play the game. But when you only are allowed to play the game this way, it's over.
Yeah, and here's the thing, even like with government and sort of in a corporate structure, it takes so many like meetings and plannings and such a long period of time to get the yes in the first place that you have to almost make it perfect because you don't want to go back through that process again. Think about like 2 years worth of you know, government approval or regulation, and then it's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, right. But you know, that's why I've always liked being sort of like a lone wolf. I'm the one who gets to say yes. So I'm like, hey, should I do it? Yep. And then I can go do it. You know,
let's consult. you know, there's certainly a ton of freedom in that. And you get to eat the fruit of that either way.
Yes.
So sometimes you really enjoy the feast set before you, and other times, well, you have to.
You eat it though because you made it, and even though
the pie sometimes,
you know, I've cooked a lot of things in the Easy Bake Oven. It wasn't great, but it was mine.
Yeah, that's true. and that's the nice part about it. You know, when you know, especially entrepreneur has become something in our culture right now that's cool, and not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. Some people should go work for somebody else. They're just not wired for those things. And so, sure, can you teach that? Can you learn that? Yeah, but you know, some people just have it. Other people, you really got to get lucky or find it or get hooked up with the right person. Do you subscribe to that, or am I?
Well, I learned a new term today. So I there's actually 4 types of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So I think we can maybe even have 12 entrepreneurs, and maybe we can eventually have an entrepreneur, someone who works for somebody else, so they can at least put the title on their business card. I'm sorry, that was a little bit of a jab.
Yeah.
But no, there's some people who need that structure and governance to feel safe. And, you know, you can't do any work if you're afraid of, you know, the stuff that entrepreneurs kind of just take in stride. So yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I do, you know, and especially the next generation coming up, nobody wants to work for anybody else. They're all, you know, I'm going to start my own company so I can have my own hours. And I think there was even that book, like the 4-hour work week or whatever. You do a 4-hour work week,
oh,
right, Joe?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the first hour of my day.
I don't know anybody who's successful that, sure, I guess if you get enough passive income, you could, you know, answer your emails and check a few stocks or whatever is driving your income in a few hours and just sip mojitos on the beach somewhere. But I don't know. I'm too driven by purpose and what I'm called to do to.
Well, like, you don't get to success and then figure out the formula and then just go sit on a beach.
Right.
You'd be driven crazy.
No, that would drive me nuts.
For sure.
I told my wife when we got married, I was like, I hope you know, I don't ever plan on retiring. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, they're going to peel me dead off a pulpit somewhere or in front of a podcast mic. I never actually thought about a podcast when I was first going into, you know, my college years and stuff like that. But I think some of that stuff is progressive. You know, I'm sure there are things that you do now that 20 years ago, when you were starting in business and such, you weren't thinking like, oh yeah, one day I'm going to da, 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 da. You know, some of those things come along and you go, you know what, that's something I want to try. And then you go for it. Is there anything that you do now that, you picked up along the way that wasn't part of the plan when you started out, and you kind of came along and you fell into it, or somebody came through the door and you went, you know what? I'd be really good at that.
Yeah. See, I had ones that I wanted to do, but I couldn't see a connection how I was ever going to get there. And okay. like right now we're starting to hit some like flip housing. Like when I was, before I even started my first business, I watched that stupid infomercial, the Carlton Sheets or the, what was the dude that went to jail? Anyway, these dudes were teaching you how you buy houses for no money. I'm like, no money? I got that. Let me go buy some houses, right? And so I bought the books and I read them and see how it was done. And I called a couple of realtors and I started saying the lines out of the book. And like, you were watching TV on Saturday, weren't you? I was like, click. They exposed me like on the first freaking call. But here I'm probably like 17 years old. I sound like a, you know, high pitched whatever. And so, but I'll tell you that even though I never did anything with real estate, I'm learning more humility about the stupid MLM book, and I got nothing how they wanted me to get out of it, but I got the tent. Like, I was never a salesperson, right? In that deal, I had to convince someone to sell me their house and lend me the money to buy their house. So that was a lot of creativity that was going on. Like, I don't have any money, but I want to buy your house, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of those guys on TikTok right now and Instagram and elsewhere that are like, you know, you don't even need any money, and you know, I have $5 billion in a real estate portfolio, and I did it with a $5,000 investment or whatever. And you know, and they're like, well, we bought this property, and then I bought 60 condos on the beach, and I rent them all out.
I was all in. I was like, this sounds perfect.
Yeah,
yeah, but it didn't work that way.
I mean, they make it sound so easy in those little clips and those little infomercials and that sort of stuff, but there is actual skill and understanding of the markets and so much that goes into that back end and investment, not just in the education side of things, but in the financial end and all of that that has to play into that. You know, everybody's looking for that, you know, drop shipping's real big right now, and some of the, they're like, oh, well, I can do that. It's real quick and it's real easy. And it's like, well, they make it look real quick and real easy in that 60-second TikTok video, but there's this and this piece, and you got to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning so that you can hit the markets here and get the stuff before they sell out. Like, there's parts to it, and everybody loves to sell the pipe dream where, oh, you know, you just have to do this one thing and then you're going to make a gajillion dollars. And it's like, oh, hold on a second. If that's the case, everybody would do it.
Yes.
And, you know, that guy that's sitting there on TikTok has been, you know, doing this for the last 15 years. You just heard about him because TikTok came around and the algorithm let him take off.
Right.
But that's the mentality. And then you get these huge swings. That's why everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, because they see people like Gary Vee and others, and they're like, oh, well, I could do that. I'm just going to record myself and here we go. And for a handful of people, that may work, but the vast majority of people are going to get into that, and they're doing it for all the wrong reasons, and so they're going to eventually pitter-patter out and be...
There's not a thing that I didn't start that wasn't just a grinded hardcore from the beginning. There isn't a single one. There's no such thing as easy, because you know, people in the if you see a weakness in the marketplace, there's probably a reason why there's a weakness. It's probably super hard, super expensive. The cost of entry is probably way high. So if you're going to go into that territory, you're probably not going to be good at it at first. Yeah. Now if you join the same thing that a million other people are doing, there's probably no money in it. You probably do it. You probably go the actions, but when you cash the check at the end of the week, you're probably not much in it.
Well, it was like even when you and I sat down, gosh, 2 years ago now, and talked about the potential of a podcast. And then those first couple, which you say you have videos of in the dark room at the church with no lights, trying to figure out
blackmail what we were going to say. Right there.
And even the first couple here where we had the little webcams, and every time we'd bump the table and shake the video and stuff.
Right.
But you look back at that stuff, and we're here to, you know, 18 months into Youngstown Studio, but 2 years into experimenting and playing with all this stuff. And I know that down the road, you're like, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. And I've watched all that come to fruition. I mean, the whole studio space and everything else, I've been along for the whole ride.
From nothing. There was nothing here. Nothing.
but I say that to say, I know from watching the last 2 years, whether it's another 2 years or another 5 years, that not only is Youngstown Studio going to be the premier media in the area, but we're going to make a splash nationally. We're going to, it's going to be monetized. It's going to be all those sort of things that you're setting out to do. And it's going to let us, not just put a good show out, but realistically, where your heart's at with this is, hey, I want to change the world. Like,
absolutely.
You know, and right now we're starting with, I don't know, couple hundred listeners, you know, a few thousand listeners here or there. I know we've had a couple months where we had over 100,000 views on our shows and stuff like that. And that's awesome. But I know there's so much more to this. And watching the last 2 years, we're able to look, and at least for me, I'm like, let's go, you know.
Yeah, well, here's a moment, like when you said about the self-sabotage, that you have to play like different mental modes when you do this. Like, I have a sticky note, the change the world thing, about this, right?
Yeah.
And as I start working on the mechanics of doing this, I sometimes forget that I'm out to change the world. So then when I start getting frustrated, it's usually because I'm looking at the wrong note. If I go look at the other note, like, right on track. But if I'm looking at the, this is hard or this is expensive or, you know, I have to start off over again, it's really tough to get sucked down into that muck. But if I read the purple one that says, you are going to change the world, it's a completely different storyline.
Well, and it's all about coming back to, well, why did I first do this? It reminds me of a scripture, Joe. I told my wife we did that because she's been off social media for a little bit. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's really funny. you know, there's a scripture in Revelation that says, don't forget your first love. Remember the things you did at first. Go back and do them. And the idea is that as we get into something, sometimes we get caught in the details or we get sucked into chasing the result and we forget why we started doing it in the first place. And I find the same thing to be true, you know, with church and stuff like that. You know, you start getting, well, how many people do we have? Where's the offerings at? Where's this at? And you start getting focused on all this stuff. And you can get really excited about that or really deflated about it real quick. They say the most depressed day for a pastor is Monday, you know, because you're either, man, we had really good attendance or we had really bad attendance. Offering was really up or offering was really down. We had this. But it's like, I didn't get in to ministry because attendance was really good or offering was up.
Yeah, but both are necessary. The grind part is the mechanics, but the goal part is, you know, connects the two.
Exactly. But when I get to that spot, I have to go back and read my purple stickum to remind me, like, well, I didn't get into this because offerings were going to be good. I got into it because people need help.
Man, and you can get over that in 2 seconds once you read back that note.
Yeah, and when you square yourself into that spot, words have power. It's good. Well, hey, we're about halfway through the show, so you should call in. We've had one caller come in and try and win Joe's money. There's $700 and AirPod Pros. You can call in 330-595-1600. You have to give us a 3-digit code for this red safe, and we will enter it in here live on the air. Joe just posted the number.
And I'm going to start giving clues again after we hit over $1,000. So that's going to be the next level of clues. But I don't want to, like, make it easy, but I want spreadsheet dude to have a little more parameters. Right? I want to give him a couple more things.
He's killing it doing a spreadsheet. That's awesome. You know, we've tried Tesla's number 369. People tried 330. There's been some common ones out there. If you're wondering what other numbers have been tried, you can go back and watch all the previous shows. A lot of people have called in, which is good. So you're experimenting right now. You have a couple of new business ventures. You have some solar panels that you're experimenting with, and you're trying to generate, figuring out exactly how to generate so much energy that you can basically replace a backup generator with solar panels. Is that kind
of tell you about my gravity battery?
No.
Let me tell you about my gravity battery. So I'm building this prototype where think of like those, the thing those lights are on.
Okay.
So the building truss. A tower. Yeah, truss. Yeah. That is. So building like a tower out of a truss and having a pulley system on the top connected to a cinder block. So when the sun's out, the solar panels turn a motor that pulls the cinder block up a pulley system. Now, when the sun goes away, the hoisting motor stops pulling it up, and then gravity starts pulling the cinder block down, which pulls gears that then does a generator. So it stores the energy through gravity, and I just got to get a gearing system that can take the, you know, I want it to be all night that it takes to come, like a grandfather clock, you know, the weights pull it down and keep the wound or the gears wound. So
interesting.
Yeah,
you always do. You always got a thing you're tinkering with, which is cool. But so in that sense of your experimentation, I know you have a business venture right now where you're trying to do some stuff with Travis and Pratt's Vision Construction. You guys launched another LLC that's going to do some stuff. Yeah, I got to meet some of the guys who are doing landscaping at your house on Sunday. But what exactly, when you go into a venture like that, obviously you're not just, because A lot of people are like, oh, I got an idea, so I'm just going to start a business. I'm going to go for it. But I know you better than that. Joe just doesn't step in and swing. What's the preparation process for an experiment? Like how much spreadsheet is involved? How much faith is involved? How much investment? Because there's practical side of this. And I've watched you do this where you're like, all right, well, we need to figure out if the math works. We got to figure out X, Y, and Z. And you know how to do that side of it. And you don't necessarily let that side of it deter you, but you want to go in with your eyes wide open knowing, well, you know, it's going to be 3 years before we see any profit in doing this. So why do I want to do that? Maybe it's not worth it, or, you know, I'm never going to make my money back on this, skip. Or you know what, even though I'm going to lose money, this is still a worthy endeavor. I'm going to take a swing.
So I have a thing called building a bridge backwards. And I have all of these bridges that are building their way from an end. Like I start with what change I want to make, what status quo that I'm interrupting, you know, what major goal that I have. And then I start saying, like, what things am I going to need that I don't have right now? And I start making these little lines away from it. Like if, you know, we're, one of them is the reason for the landscaping is that we want to build, do something for the addicts, give them a place to, you know, get back into the real world, get them trained up, get them jobs, get them back to, you know, some normalcy, opportunities of normalcy. And in order for me to do that, there's going to be some skill sets or things I'm going to need at my disposal, because if guys start knocking on my door saying I'm ready for you, like I got to have some stuff because I got to be capable. And then so when I drop back, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have lots of, you know, jobs that a guy can come out that's got gusto, that doesn't have, you know, doesn't have any skills or any training yet. How can I put somebody to work right now? And I made a list of all the skills that you could just put someone to work and making money right now. And then so I need this type of job and I need this type of job. So I got to go create those things. I either got to find one that exists, ask somebody if I could use it, because it's one of my philosophies. If you tell me no that I can't use it, I'm just going to go do it myself.
Right.
So and so you'll see me probably four companies that I have to start in order to enable enough stuff and resources to be able to start that endeavor.
Yeah, and obviously you and Travis are the first one, and that's all construction, rebuilding. What other companies are you looking to get in with?
Well, part of the skills is that you got to teach some of this stuff. So I need to have some homes, right? So that I can do some cutaway and show people how to do the jobs that Travis is going to need them to do. Like putting drywall up, if we can buy a flip house, right? And instead of just doing the flip and selling it, step by step, doing the stuff inside and then taking a group of guys and show them what they did.
Shoot some videos and that sort of stuff too.
And then so sell that house, buy a next one, and there's our next demo unit for the next class to come in there and do flipping.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be neat.
And then, you know, solar panels, obviously, you know, you're working that end, and that's going to be a different venture, I imagine, once you get this set. Is that going to be a separate LLC for you, or is that going to flow through Youngstown Computers?
Well, okay, so right now solar makes sense in states that are not Ohio. Right? And so the skill set, I got to make the business model work in the worst case scenario. So if I go to any state on the planet, it works no matter what. And so I'm messing with the different scenarios that you would say, yes, you want it. Like you're not going to say, okay, here, I'll give my sales pitch. Ready? I'm practicing it. Okay, we got these solar panels and I could put a setup that will run your entire house, right? And the payoff will be 25 years, but the solar panels only last 20. Are you going to say yes? Probably not, because that's unless you really like solar panels,
right?
But if I said something like, I'm going to have solar panels that run a sump pump in case you have an outage or save your freezer, that's something you're more likely to say yes to, because it's smaller scale and it's for a more general purpose. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
What's the cost difference between a generator?
It's about the same, one for one. And so if the coin flip, you know, ours went out a couple years ago and my neighbor did the generator. It was annoying. I mean, it really is. It's loud as hell and, you know, and whatever. So that was my goal, is to take what he did there and see if I can duplicate it on something that doesn't make noise. And if it costs the same, it's an alternative.
So what are you looking at price-wise for a solar panel battery setup, generator backup thing?
You don't have a full price because I'm experimenting with all kinds of the battery that I use. I bought $1,000 battery and it wasn't much better than the acid battery. So $200 battery versus $1,000. It had the same cranking. The only thing it did was one takes maintenance and one lasts forever. Right. And so like, again, you have to wait 20 years to, you know, recoup an investment in a battery. I think you're going to choose the cheaper one.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm still working on the different players in the game.
I'm so fascinated by stuff like that. It's so cool. how much of the experimentation process is selling your idea? Are you the proponent, like, all right, I have a good idea, it'll sell itself, or I got to market this and convince that, you know, you were just talking about, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you have this and this, and most people are going to not choose solar because the payoff's not there. So how do you sell something like that to a market that maybe doesn't even know it needs it?
Yeah. And I feel like that my flavor of honesty isn't like destructive. It's not a bias. Yeah. Like a lot of sellers that if it costs a lot to them, then they assume that all people aren't going to do that. I like in all my other companies, I take things that you don't know about and you outsource the decision-making to me and I'll do whatever's priority to you in the thinking. So if you tell me cost is it, now cost is it for me. If you're like time is it, then time, I make my priority, whoever I'm serving. So the demographic that I have access to, I kind of know their profile and I'm a bulldog. Like I go out and fight on behalf of whoever's hiring me to do something. And I've developed so much trust with my and loyalty for my customer base because I don't bullshit anybody. I just tell them the truth. Even if so many people have come to me and asked me about, you know, should I buy from you? And when I say, no, I'm not your best thing, it blows them away. Cause you know, salespeople are like, yes, it's the perfect answer and come to me. Kind of a thing.
You may bask in my,
yeah, job. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. And I totally appreciate, when people do that and they, you know, when they're there to give you the best information, not there to make a sale, I want to buy from you.
Yep.
Like every time. Not even like, there's not one time where I'm like, well, you know, I could save $100 if it went the other guy. I was like, but the other guy was ready to throw me over a cliff. He didn't care what he had to do to sell me. And this guy told me I'm going to be more expensive than the other guy. You probably should go with him if you want a cheaper price. You know, our product I think is a little bit better, but you're going to get the same output or whatever. And I'm like, I want to buy from you.
Absolutely.
Because I trust what I'm getting in that moment. And so there's an authenticity to that. At what point does the pendulum swing and people don't believe the authenticity anymore? Because salespeople are catching on to that.
Right.
And so they teach their salespeople to be authentic. So, you know, they come up with this new solar panel invention and they send out a sales team and the sales team knows that people aren't going to be up for this. So they start with that. They lead with that. They build the trust. They you know, there are speakers that do that. That you go, yeah. Oh, wow, they really connected with me. And then you find out behind the scenes they're a total jerk. Like they weren't who they were on the platform, but they knew how to sell it to the audience. And so they package it in authenticity. And I feel like I'm starting to pick that up from a lot of different people.
Okay, so there's an ancient philosophy, and I've studied this in the art of persuasion. See, there's coercion people and there's persuasion. Yep. I'm totally a persuasion person. Yeah. So you've got pathos, logos, ethos, right? Those are the three. One is logical arguments, one is emotional arguments, and one is connecting through relationships and creating the credibility and notoriety to be able to be believed by other people. So I don't depend on me telling you that it is. If you haven't heard of me or know who I am, then the stuff that's coming out of my mouth is going to have no value. Yep. So you already have to know who I am before I come through the door, and then I'm believable. So if it's not that...
So it's super high on relationships.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Whoa. Did you see what happened there?
I did. I flipped that script on you. You're going. I'm like, well, the thing Joe wants to grow in is exactly the key thing that he needs for
that I depend on.
Yeah, that you depend on. And it's true. You know, they tell us in, you know, evangelism, right? You have the people that stand there and hold the sign up that of everything that God hates, and they yell at people that come by. And there are people that stop and... we'll pray with them and you know, make a conversion, so to speak. But I'm much more of the relational and invitational, like, hey, this is what we're doing. You can come be a part of it. Like, I think it has a lot of value and might just change your life. Give it a shot. And that's a total different approach. But you have very confrontational, you know, evangelism, and yes, evangelism in the sense of, for our purposes, is essentially the sales of the Christian faith side of things. Like, I'm presenting to you the cost benefit ratio. Here's what happens when you step on this side of the aisle, and this is what God's going to do, and this is what you're going to experience. And then when you have different approaches to that, just like you have different sales type people that, and some of those people are coercion, you know, they're trying to coerce.
Well, you're kind of branding your environments. And I didn't think that before this, that the church could do anything to rebrand themselves. I thought it was going to have to be like this national, we're this different. But when I see people who are just trying to make a difference, even if they don't get credited for it, or if they even take barbs for it or whatever, and they do it anyway, I'm like, oh, Christianity is going to rebrand itself just by its actions. Not, it doesn't have to say anything about itself.
And that's so true. And I think if you look at the history of the church, it's gone through big reformations. It's gone through big rebranding sessions. And none of them have been on purpose. Like, there wasn't a moment where they were like, you know what? We need a reformation. You know, it's time to rebrand. Like, there wasn't a meeting. People just started doing what they believed the truest version of the scriptures were. And people connected with the authenticity of that and everything else, and it rebirthed this brand new version of the church. I mean, Martin Luther, in the, not to do a history lesson, but the 95 Theses, he didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. He didn't want to go start his own church. But when they kicked him out and told him he was going to hell, he didn't have a choice. And so, you know, he posted his 95 issues, and they had a council, and he came before them and said, look, I got problems. I don't think what you're doing is correct, and I don't think this is okay. And he brought his issues, and instead of having a discussion and reforming the church, you know, it's called the Reformation, but they didn't reform anything. They just kicked him out, and he started the Lutheran Church. But he didn't have a choice. And so when you look at those big things, like, you know, big moments in church history, or big moments in, you know, world history, you know, the Industrial Revolution and stuff like that, like, some of that stuff is just spurred on by, there's a group that didn't want to change and wanted to hold on to the old systems of thing, and other people came along and were like, screw that, we're going to do our own thing.
Right.
And if you don't like it, you know, tough, we're just going to keep fighting, and you guys are going to die eventually. We're younger than you, and we'll do our own thing.
Yeah. And I think today, like, I feel like we have access to more information now, and it feels like everything's dirtier now than it was through the turn of the century, that it was more like flowery and feel good about it. But we didn't know half the shit that went on. Right. Yeah. So they were able to like concoct the version that everybody knew. Now, if you have access, I think it's actually better, but it feels worse because we know more about it.
Well, and we see stuff through rose colored glasses. We see history, and we see the best of it, and we paint it in our most favorable light because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And so when we look at the Industrial Revolution, and we look at some of the cutthroat stuff that they brutal. Did, it was. I mean, some of those guys did not care one iota about nothing. They were going to, in the purest sense, they were going to forge their way forward.
Yeah. And if you were, but you in look way, in every industry, if people are people are people. So Industrial Revolution or education or government or religion, it's all just people. They're doing the exact same thing no matter where they're at.
Yeah. And it's that reinvention process. It's that experimentation. It's the, you know, the failing, the self-sabotage, like all of that stuff plays in regardless of industry, regardless of, you know, period in history. It plays out in such a way that, change is inevitable. It always comes. The people that hold on, you know, end up missing out. You get to jump in and be a part of doing something well and doing something different and breaking ground. To me, that's exciting. But when people are like, well, we're not going to give up our, you know, rotary dial phones, or, you know, we're going to hold on to certain things. Like, I'm not talking about major principles. I think we need to hold on to some. There are some principles that are tried and true, and you can try and change them all you want. They're just going to, eventually the pendulum is going to come back and you go, oh yeah, we totally messed that up. But in the sense of innovation, technology, all of that stuff. And even, as that stuff grows, even the approach to, social constructs like education, and we're going through a huge reform of education right now. Like, and it's totally like the government has nothing to do with it. When you have, you know, people like Elon Musk and others, you know, pushing this agenda forward, the private schools have gotten a huge boost out of COVID because guess who didn't close down, and guess who had better ways of handling this? The private schools. Right. And the public schools have taken a big hit, and a lot of parents realize, you know what? Some parents, I've had several in the church, their kids learned better online. They're like, why am I sending my kids back to public school? I might as well homeschool them. Like, they got more out of the homeschool. They didn't have to sit in a classroom all day. Their behavioral issues were less and stuff like that. And so we're going through a huge reform of the education system right now, and it's right underneath our nose, and there's nothing anybody can do about it because parents are going to do what's best for their kids. But I think the same thing's true in the church world, in the church context. Like there's a passing of the baton right now, a changing of the guard, and you know, you have folks that are trying to hold on to traditional, we did it this way and this is how we have to do that, and then you have a brand new, you know, era that's being born right now, and it's just fun to be a part of. I think for me, I enjoy that side of it.
It's just truthful. And I always feel like if at least I know it, even if it's got its warts on it, sure. it's authentic. Yeah. I can go along with it as people exactly. build up their experiment.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like if it's an experiment, it's okay when stuff goes, probably shouldn't do that again. That was horrible, you know. Or you know what, man, we struck gold. Like let's press in that exactly. direction and figure that out. And I think when we approach life that way, it lets us live with an open hand. Like at the end of the day, you know, in order for me to receive something good from life, I have to live with an open hand. In order for me, but if I'm holding everything tight and I don't want to lose and I don't want to let go, it's very difficult for me to get anything new. And most people go through their life going, all right, I got the couple things I want, and we'll just hold them close. And what you find is most things slip through your fingers when you live that way. And if I just put my hand out and God can put things in and take things out and all that, it's okay. My hand's open.
That's it.
So, wow, we got 4 minutes left. You have 4 minutes.
You can win money.
To call in and win money. $700 in AirPod Pros, 3-digit code for our beautiful red safe, 330-595-1600.
Do you have a prediction how long it's going to take before someone wins? Do you think it's going to go 20 weeks?
I was talking to somebody from church on the way here, and they were like, I need to call in and win some money. And I don't know. I don't know how long it'll take.
Well, there'll be a time when we open up the show and it'll be end-to-end phone calls if we let it.
Yeah.
So we almost have to decide now, like how many calls you want to take in your show, because when it's $5,000, it's like boop, boop, redial, boop, 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 redial.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Sorry, let's invent the rule now. Let's see.
This is Rug Deed. Hi, how are you? I'm calling about that safe. Yeah, you'll have a host calling
in. Right. I'll call in.
Yeah. That's good. Well, we hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you'll experiment, and I hope you'll live with your hands open. What was the thing we started talking about? The didgeridoo or
the dirigible?
Dirigible, yeah. The dingo hopper. The dirigible. We hope that you'll experiment and you know, enjoy failing, enjoy the creative process, and create something beautiful, because the world needs you and needs the things that you're building and the creativity that's inside of you. Don't sit on the sidelines. We'll see you guys on Thursday.
Amen, brother.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.